Good morning. It's good to be gathered either virtually or for a handful of us here at the Grace Point campus. It's just great to be gathered together as we are going to look again at what biblical wisdom looks like coming out of the book of Proverbs. We looked at a few introduction weeks to start our study, but then we started to look at the character sketches throughout the book. And so last week we looked at the fool, and quite often these character sketches are negative or going opposite of how God has called his people to live. So the first one was the fool, the stubborn person who just goes their own way kind of obstinately. Then there's the simple or the naive person. Then there's the scoffer or the mocker, kind of with a hardened heart. Then the sluggard, who's the lazy one. We'll look at the friend, both from a positive and a negative perspective. But for us today, we come out of the fool and we're going to look at the simple or the naive. Basically, that a simple view of life is one that either lacks experience or what we would call immature, or it lacks the ability to judge or discern what's really going on. So the simple, kind of other places in the book of Proverbs, another phrase that's kind of correlated to that is him who lacks sense. And so we're going to look at this sketch, this character throughout the book. Just like last week, we're going to be bouncing throughout the book, so you can follow along. You can try to flip with me, whatever you prefer. But we're going to look and start in Proverbs chapter 1. And basically, this begins, remember, this was the intro passage, that Proverbs was written, we'll pick up in verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Then the question is, well, what happens to the simple-minded or the naive person? Chapter 1, verse 32 answers that. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Then, if the simple or the naive are kind of killed by their turning away, what characterizes the naive person? Flip over to Proverbs 14, verse 15, and it says, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Similarly, down in chapter 22, verse 3, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. And so with that as a sketch of the simple person or the naive, what does that person need? Proverbs 8, verse 5 answers it. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. And if you want one passage that kind of describes the struggle of the naive person, it's in chapter 9. So the first 6 verses and then verses 13 to 18. So hear this, as this is actually woman wisdom personified, speaking to the simple-minded or the naive person. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. That's woman wisdom. Later in that chapter, in verse 13, the woman folly is speaking. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of Sheol. It's interesting that simple-mindedness has such staggering consequences. In the book of Hebrews is going to help us to unpack that and see, possibly by the power of the Spirit, what tendencies we have in our own lives. So let's pray. God, would you be in our midst, and thank you for your word. Thank you for this book, that it is just filled with images of what it is for us to live as simple-minded people, for us to live as naive people. And Father, I would imagine that most people that are listening to this are saying, that's not me. But God, I confess that that's where I started this week. And by the end, even standing here right now, I'm all over the pages of this of these verses. I'm all over the pages of this sermon. And so, Father, help us by the power of the Spirit to see ourselves rightly. And then, God, help us to see your grace. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We have some interesting trends kind of happening in our culture. We see the decline of marriage rates in our culture. Back in 2018, it hit a historic low in marriage rates. And even if people get married, there's a delay in the time of when people are getting married. That's on marriage. Let's take something much lighter. What about the sense of somebody's trying to organize an event? People don't RSVP anymore. Kind of the thought of, and I'm not sure what else might come up, but we don't like to, our culture by and large isn't marrying at the same rate. We don't like to RSVP because we don't want to commit ourselves. If we ever have an impromptu youth event, one of the first questions students ask is, well, who's coming? As if that defines them, if they're going to come or not. Because we don't want to commit to something and then find out that the people that I want there aren't going to come. There's the fear of missing out in our culture, FOMO, right? That it seems that there is this difficulty to commit to anything. And this incessant desire to keep our options open, just in case something better presents itself. So I can go there and I can do that. But what's the fallout? What's the fallout of a culture that won't commit? What's the fallout of a church living within a culture that won't commit? And Proverbs is going to address this type of living. So you're probably at this point saying, how does simple-mindedness and naivete coincide with the inability to commit? Well, the book of Proverbs lays this out, and basically, the troubling tendencies of the naive start to show up. So the troubling tendencies of the naive. So again, please don't hear this for the person sitting next to you or across the room from you. Allow God to possibly use this as a mirror to your own soul so that his grace might break in. So the tendencies of the naive, what does the book of Proverbs show us? Well, is that one of the troubling tendencies is that the naive person is easily led, okay? Not in the sense of I'm willing to be led, but kind of that they're gullible, that they can be moved almost, just at anything, you know? So the writer of Proverbs kind of says in as we saw before that the simple believes everything. Remember that in chapter 14, verse 15. But the prudent gives thought to his steps. The simple believes everything. He's gullible. He can be misled. When we first started this study, Todd reminded me of what came to his mind when he talked about and thought about the naive or the simple person. Basically, it was the movie Elf. And if you remember the movie Elf, an elf moves from the North Pole and he moves to New York City and he's walking down the street and he sees this cheap diner that has this light-up sign, World's Best Cup of Coffee. Well, elf would be a simple-minded person because he runs into the restaurant. Congratulations, you did it. You have the world's best cup of coffee. And we all know it was probably a terrible cup of coffee, but to believe everything is this idea of being simple-minded or naive. Because the word that is translated the simple actually has this understanding of to be deceived or to be seduced or to be enticed. And so it's not just simple like you don't know enough things, but you have a way of looking at the world that you are willing to be moved towards whatever is said to you, whatever's put in front of you, deceived, seduced, enticed. And so the idea of being easily led also comes back to that Proverbs 23 verse that we saw earlier. And just like we saw in Proverbs 14, verse 15, here we see in chapter 22, verse 3, that the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. What does that mean? That means that just like in Proverbs 7, Proverbs 7 we're going to come back to when we start to talk about temptation and sexuality and the like. But in Proverbs chapter 7, we're shown a naive man responding to a seductive, alluring woman. So we see him, and in Proverbs 7 says he's passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. Basically, he walks as close as he can to sin, just, you know, just to see what might happen. He gets close, thinking that it won't destroy him. And sure enough, she is there to greet him when he walks by. And rather than running the other way, he goes into her house. The naive, what does it say in 22:3? The naive see danger and they go on and they suffer for it. The naive thinks, well, it's just the internet. The naive thinks, well, I'm not hurting anyone by looking. I can handle it. It's not gonna dominate my life. It's not gonna get out of hand. It's not really that bad. The naive person sees danger and goes headlong towards it. All the while, our hearts are being drawn away and enticed. And so a naive person or a simple person believes anything and is easily led towards those things, willing to follow anyone, anywhere. What's really interesting is that the simpleton tends to follow the loudest voice. And as we're going to look at the book of Proverbs, who has the loudest voice typically is the scoffer or the mocker. They're usually the loudest. And so the simple person oftentimes follows the mocker, who is the one with the hardest heart of them all, into destruction. So not only are they easily led, what are the other troubling tendencies? Is this idea that we talked about earlier, is that they keep their options open. So the idea of the simple has that understanding of to be deceived or to entice or seduce. The verb that comes from the root word that the simple is kind of coming out of, the verb in the Hebrew actually refers to being open, to be open. You're open to all inputs, open to anyone's leadings. You're open to whatever comes your way. And you're reactive. You're not proactive. You're open to just rolling with things and letting life kind of dictate where things go. You're not locked in. You know, but yet you actually don't even know what you're living for. And so you keep your options open. And that sounds great. You go with the flow. You know, you live for the moment. You don't want to miss out, so you don't want to commit to anything. The fear of missing out is there, but the writer of Proverbs says there's an urgency to this. Going with the flow, not committing to anything, keeping your options open. How long, oh simple ones, will you love being simple? Because People that are simple, people that are naive, they don't live with any kind of urgency. Can you hear the writer of Proverbs here? How long? How long are you going to keep going? How long will you love doing this? Because urgency is something that the naive person lacks. Whatever will be, and we'll just respond to it when it comes. And so they're easily led. They keep their options open, but then they also refuse to commit. And this is where Proverbs 9, that passage, starts to help us understand what's happening. Because in chapter 9, you have the woman wisdom and the woman folly, and they're speaking to the simple person or the naive. Okay, did you catch that in verse 4? In verse 4, the woman wisdom says, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." Verse 16, the woman folly says the exact same words. "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." What's really staggering is verse 13 when it starts to talk about folly. That the woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. What's wild is that word seductive is actually the same word same root word, just a different take on that word in the Hebrew, the same word as the simple-minded or the naive. So in a sense, the woman folly is loud. So yes, she's seductive because we said that's in that word in Hebrew, but she is simple and she knows nothing, yet she is the one speaking most loudly. She herself is naive, and she doesn't even know what she's talking about. And so here's this pull to the simple person. Get woman wisdom speaking, woman folly saying the same exact thing. But woman wisdom, what does she do? She builds a house. Woman folly is just sitting around and expecting people to look at her and be impressed. So what does woman wisdom offer? Is meat, bread, wine. Woman folly, what does she offer? Bread and water. What does wisdom offer? Is honest dealings in actually offering something to us that is real, whereas folly is making promises that cannot come true and will not come true. And then wisdom, its followers will live. Folly, did you catch that? That staggering verse in verse 18, that he, the man, does not know that the dead are there. These, as Ray Ortlund said in his commentary, folly's playmates die a sugar-coated death before they even know what hit them. They refuse to commit because woman wisdom and woman folly are speaking to them. But yet, you know what? If I'm going to keep my options open, then you constantly live in that tension. So they're easily led. They refuse to commit. They keep their options open. Basically, they're lazy in their thinking. They're lazy in their thinking. The naive person lacks critical thinking. You know, if you don't think too deeply about things, then life just kind of clips along pleasantly. You know, the mood kind of stays light, doesn't get too heavy. You know, when someone asks you, though, to consider something deeply, you might pop off with these questions. Why do you have to be such a downer? You know, lighten up. You know, as an older adult, you may have had this experience where you're watching a TV show or a movie with kids. Either your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, kind of the, you know, friends or whatever. And something happens in that show and the obvious teaching moment presents itself. And you grab the remote and you pause the video. And how do the kids in the room respond? Because they know what's about to come, right? They know this is going to be one of those teachable moments. How do they respond? Well, two kids that I happen to see a lot in my home, they tend to roll their eyes. Like, ugh, you know, don't make me think about this. Just let me watch my show. And Dad, could you stop with the remote? Because we don't want to think deeply. It's in us to just kind of move through, take things in, not think about those things. Because you know what? That's such a downer sometimes, to think deeply and critically about life. But what happens when we are lazy in our thinking? When life just happens and we don't consider what's going on? Proverbs 14, verse 18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Inherit is such an interesting word, kind of like other versions say they receive folly. You know, so it's this sense where the simple just kind of goes through life naively, not taking a stand, not committing to anything, lazy in their critical thinking. You know what? Life's going to work itself out. And what do they get for that? Is folly. They fall into it. They don't dive headlong into folly. Instead, their lack of deciding, they back into folly. Derek Kidner, commentator, probably one of the greatest commentaries on Proverbs, he says, "For one does not stay still. A man who is empty-headed will end up wrong-headed." Basically, that if you're not committing to the ways of wisdom that God has laid out and the fear of the Lord, and you just go through life, that will not stay just in mere simplicity of your life. It will lead you to the place of the fool and then also to the place of the mocker. You will end up not just being empty, but thinking wrongly. Now, you still might be saying, you know what, good, whew, I dodged all of those. That's not me. So let me submit something to you. And I give for all of these points and all the ones that I didn't make in this application, I give all the credit in the world to a pastor friend named Zach Eswine. As he spoke and unpacked, what does the simpleton look like in relationship? Because when it applies to decision-making, we can kind of say, you know what, I make good decisions. Well, what does the simple person look like in relationships? Well, they are absolutely frustrating. Because think about it, somebody that's easily moved, easily led, willing to follow anyone, the person that simply follows whoever they are around, they love to fit in, they don't like to make waves. You know, wherever things go, they follow. How does that person survive in relationships? Is they become a chameleon. They just respond to whoever they're around, and they become whoever they need to be to survive with that person, and they just kind of go through life becoming whoever they're with. What about the person that won't commit to anything? You know, you're with this person. Let me translate. You're with me. Because this is where this came to real light for me. You know, that what do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do today? Well, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? How do you think our kids' hearts are doing in relationship with the Lord? Let's kind of like go for the jugular here. What do you think? And when you're in relationship with someone like this, you just want to pull your hair out. You're frustrated, you know, and sadly, this is me. I wound people. I wound Linda probably most specifically by not making my thoughts known, or I simply won't commit to an opinion. People that are naive, people that are simple, and at the beginning of the week, I would say those aren't me. At the end of the week, it is most definitely me. They're very frustrating to be in relationship with because it's like, just tell me what you think. It's interesting. And so when we see these troubling tendencies of the naive, you might be saying, man, I was all over all those points, or that's totally me in relationship. You might be saying, you know what? There's no hope for me. And seeing these things is only half of the part of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs then says there's hope for the one who is simple. There's hope for the fool. There is hope for the naive. And so what is the hope for the naive person is found not just in seeing what's wrong, but is then seeing the wisdom of God as it starts to take root in our lives. And so what's wonderful about the naive person is there is a teachability in the naive person that doesn't exist in many of the other characters in Proverbs. Think about the scoffer, the one that just laughs at everybody and mocks everybody. You know that different verses would say, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. Don't reprove a scoffer or he will hate you for it. Okay? So the scoffer's not teachable at all. Then there's the fool, which is at least a little bit better off. It says this in Proverbs 17, verse 10, that a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Now, the point of that is it is very difficult to correct or teach a fool. But at least there's some movement there. That it does go in some fashion, you know, but there's a stubbornness and an obstinance to the fool. The simple or the scoffer is there's no hope. The fool is they can still be taught, but man, is it difficult. The simple or the naive, there's real hope. And the hope is found in them being teachable. Proverbs 21:11, when a scoffer is punished, the simple becomes wise. When a wise man's instructed, he gains knowledge. It's interesting that the naive is the most teachable of all of these characters in the book of Proverbs. And they are actually helped by the discipline of the scoffer. So if you're disciplining a scoffer for the scoffer, it's a waste of your time. But to discipline the scoffer, it's not wasted because you actually are instructing the simple or the naive. They watch what happens and they're like, huh, maybe I need to walk in wisdom. So the punishment of the scoffer brings wisdom to the simple or the naive. And it's in that then the simple person then starts to learn this is what that this person needs. Oh, simple ones, learn prudence. Oh, fools, learn sense. So what does a simple person or a naive person need is prudence. Now, that's not a word we throw out a bunch. We use all the time. So, that they need to and can learn prudence. What's wonderful about that sentence is first, they can learn. They're not stuck yet. But, in these verses that we looked at when we looked it back at the easily led point, the simple are contrasted against the prudent. Okay? And so they need prudence. So what is prudence? Well, it's this shrewdness or craftiness or a discerning sense of life, or being sensible. It's to maybe even be clever or cunning, okay? Said negatively, in Genesis 3, the serpent that deceived Adam and Eve was crafty, same Hebrew word. He was prudent, but in a very negative sense. The problem's not prudence, it's what you do with it. He had a shrewdness and a discerning and an understanding about life so he could manipulate them. The Proverbs is not saying use it negatively, but the simple person or the naive person needs prudence. This sense of craftiness or shrewdness, not for evil, but to live a life of discernment in a certain level of thinking that is absolutely necessary. That's why Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 16, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise, NASB, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. So what does a prudent person do? Well, prudent, they give thought to their steps. They're crowned with knowledge. The prudent heeds or listens to reproof or correction. The prudent sees danger, and then he hides himself. That's said twice in the book of Proverbs. That prudence, this cunning, clever discernment of how to live life, is what the simple need. And so you're like, well, how can I get that? And that's where we get the invitation of Jesus. The invitation of Jesus is the hope. It's not you're simple, you're naive, you're doomed. Or you're simple, you're naive, go get prudence on your own. That's not the gospel. The gospel is, yes, you need prudence, but Jesus is inviting us to come to him. Proverbs 9, verse 4. Again, that was the personification of wisdom speaking. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Turn away from the life that you've constructed according to your wisdom, according to your sin, and turn to Jesus. It's the gospel that we repent of what we have been trusting in and turn to Jesus. Talked about Ray Ortland before. He wrote this in his commentary on Proverbs. He said, the book of Proverbs is a gospel book. That means the book of Proverbs is good news for bad people. It's about grace for sinners. It's about hope for failures. It's about wisdom for idiots. This book is Jesus himself coming to us as a counselor, as our sage. The Lord Jesus Christ is a competent thinker for all times and all cultures. He's a genius. And he freely offers us his unique wisdom. And that's why Proverbs 1, verse 23 goes on to say, if you turn at my reproof, if you hear it and are corrected, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. The invitation of Jesus is turn to him. If you find yourself simple, if you find yourself naive, if you find yourself going these ways, Jesus is saying, turn to me and I'll pour my spirit out on you. Later in chapter 9, verse 6, leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. So if you find yourselves at all in these verses, there is a sense where we need to learn how to commit. But not just commit for commitment's sake, but to commit under the fear of the Lord. To decide to listen to him. To decide to learn from him. To decide to abandon our naive ways of living and turn to the one who died for our simplicity. Who died for naive people. Turn to the one who endured what you and I deserved for our lack of wisdom, for our wayward life, for our rebellion against the living God. We turn to the one who endured the wrath of God for that. We turn to the one who invites you, invites me to a feast that leads to life. The book of Proverbs is calling out. And he's saying, turn in here, whoever is simple. Come to him and you will find life. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would do much through your word. We've gone a lot of different places in this book, but God, would you take any part of that by your spirit? Would you land it in our hearts and our souls? Father, when we want to kind of play it safe in relationships or in life and just not commit to anything, Father, we live in that constant pull between wisdom and folly. Father, I pray that you would lead us as we understand what it is to live in the fear of the Lord, that we would commit ourselves to walk in the wisdom that you have established, commit ourselves to walk in holiness. And Father, I pray that you would meet us in these difficult places, that you would meet us in our sense where we just want to follow whatever's around us. God, give us prudent thought. God, help us to be discerning. Help us to see what it is to live for something definite And God, in that, we find your wisdom. We find real life. God, would you uphold us in that? Would we turn in to you when we find ourselves simple or naive? We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.